of you know that at the name of Jesus, everything can change? Woo! Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Oh. Look at this great crowd on Sunday morning. We had a tremendous service. You know, we have church on Saturday night. And if you ever feel like you can't get there on a Sunday, come Saturday night. And it's full. It's just like this. Same song, same music, same everything. And then this morning, we had a 9 o'clock service that was just exciting in here. And then today, the 11 o'clock crowd, full of coffee, full of coffee. And then, if you miss all that, we have the exact same service on Thursday night. So you're always welcome to come here on Thursdays at 7. It's the same sermon. And usually they have food trucks out front, so just so you know that. But I want to thank you for being here today. And I want to say this, God is good. Let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. And the best is yet to come. We have so much to be thankful for. And I want to thank all the dads who came last weekend. We probably had our largest, besides Easter, we probably had our largest crowd of the entire year was on Father's Day. So thank you, dads, for coming to church last week. And how many of you enjoyed watching them eat those hot wings with the hot sauce? Dads, how many of you did that and you got to take that little trophy, the chicken trophy, home? I had some women that were complaining, a lot of women complained that they didn't get hot wings, so I don't know what we'll do on Mother's Day next year, but we'll figure something out. Next week, everybody say next week, we start a brand new series, and I just want to explain a couple things because this kicks off next weekend. It's called Faith University. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to give you a PhD in faith. Now, our theme for the year is audacious faith. And every series we've had this year fits underneath that umbrella of faith, of audacious faith. And so as we put together the entire year, there were verses in the Bible that I believe are the most important verses in all of Scripture that talk about faith. So we put all those verses into one series called Faith University. We want to give you a PhD. It's going to be 7 weeks. And if you come to all 7, now you might have to miss one or two for vacation, which is fine, but we're going to trust that you will watch it online. But you have to listen to all 7. If you listen to all 7, 2 things happen. Number 1, we're going to give each of you a diploma. And some of you don't have a diploma. This is your chance. We've joined together with a Christian college down in Fullerton called Hope International. And they have agreed to make this a certified class. So I don't know if you're going to get credit for it, if you want to get a real degree, but if you attend the next 7 weeks starting next Sunday, and again, if you miss, catch it up online. The website's over there above that door, liftupjesus.com. You can watch all the sermons, both in church and the ones that are broadcast around the world. And so they're actually, the Bible College is actually going to be here to help hand out these diplomas. The second thing, if you do all 7, you're the ones who we're going to give a mug to. And we have a mug that has Audacious Faith with the logo for the year. And so normally we just give those mugs out to everyone. We're not doing that this time. You've had enough free stuff. Okay. So if you're here for all 7, and we'll explain more next week, but I just want you to know that this starts next weekend. And you need to get to all 7 of these to get your degree, your diploma, and your mug. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now today, we wrap up the series that we've been in for the last 6 weeks called Let Go and Let God. A series that was designed to help us put our past in the past and to embrace what is in front of us. The last 2 weeks were powerful weekends here at the church. We talked about overcoming addictions, and last weekend we talked about breaking generational curses. Today, we want to look at something that's right in front of you, but you may or may not see. It's there, but oftentimes it's invisible. I want to ask a question. Raise your hand and keep it raised. How many of you would admit somewhere in your life you ran into a sliding glass door? It was there. You just couldn't see it. It looked like a door, but it was a pane of glass. Well, there's often an invisible barrier between you and your future that you can never see. It's called the spirit realm. Now, whenever in church we talk about the spiritual realm of the heavenlies, there are two main viewpoints. They're extreme opposites. One viewpoint is that there's a demon behind every tree and every bush. And so anything that happens in your life that you don't like or you don't agree with, there was a demon involved. And you almost become paranoid of the devil. The second viewpoint, completely opposite, totally extreme, is that there is no devil, that that Satan is make-believe, and we give no credence to the fact that Satan and his evil forces are real and at work in our world. So I want you to take your Bibles today and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. There's an outline inside your bulletin. I spoke on this text, which we do from time to time, but the last time I spoke on this text was 6 months ago. So if you're here today and you go, I think I've heard some of this before. Well, we talked about it 6 months ago. And at least for me, it's something that you cannot hear enough. Because as God is trying to lead you, Satan is trying to mislead you. As God is trying to bless you, Satan is trying to condemn you. God is trying to help you. Satan is trying to hurt you. God is trying to free you. Satan is trying to enslave you. God is trying to redeem you. Satan is trying to destroy you. So today in this series, I want to give you 5 steps to assure victory in your life from Ephesians chapter 6. Number one, write this down. You got to power up. That's number one. Everybody say power up. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in yourself, but strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In the spirit world and in the physical world, there's only one way to truly be strong, and that's to be strong in the Lord. Your victory starts there. In the movie The Lion King, Simba is just a little lion cub. He's a tad bit overconfident and a little arrogant, but he heads off to an area, just like us often, that he should not be. He gets trapped by his enemies, 3 hyenas, and he attempts to ward them off with his little lion cub roar. So he roars, it sounds like a cat, meow. And just like you, the 3 hyenas laugh. And so little Simba, with one last attempt to save himself, he attempts one more wimpy roar. Except this time, you hear the enormous roar of the Lion King, Mufasa. And the hyenas panic, and they cower in fear, because they realize they have no chance against Mufasa. Little Simba, in that moment, is standing in the strength of his father. Often our past has gotten the best of us. We think it's defeated us. It certainly discourages us. It steals from our future. And Satan, he laughs, he scoffs, he encircles. And then the roar of the lion from the tribe of Judah, King Jesus himself, comes to our defense. And our hope is renewed because we're standing in his strength. And so when your past steals your joy, be strong in the strength of the Lord. And when you feel like you can't make it another day, stand strong in the strength of the Lord. And when you feel like life is stacked against you, be strong in the strength of your Lord. And when temptation comes your way, stand strong in the strength of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, we don't just power up. Number two, write this down. You got to wise up. You got to power up. You got to wise up. Because Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, plural. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, it's against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You gotta power up, you gotta wise up. Because we are in the midst of a cosmic spiritual war zone between the forces of evil in the heavenly realms and the power of a living God in the spirit world. We have an enemy. He's more real than anything in your life. And he's constantly planning. He's constantly scheming, systematically, methodically, to bring you to a place of defeat, to bring you to a place of discouragement, to bring you to a place of depression, to bring you to a place of disorientation, to bring you to a place of despair, and to bring you to a place called death, because that's what he does. Now, in a few months, the NFL season will start again. And before you know it, your team will be playing. Now, I looked up the Los Angeles Rams football schedule for this upcoming season, because we live where? In Los Angeles. And here's who they play. They play the Chargers. They play the 49ers. They play the Las Vegas Raiders. And they play those filthy, low-down, no-good-for-nothing Cowboys. Now, whenever you go to a game and you're there with 80,000 people, it's not just fans that are in the stands. There are scouts in those stands from the opposing teams. And the scouts are there looking at your team, even though you don't know they're there. They're there. And they're scouting out what your team's weaknesses are so that they can defeat your team. And that's exactly what the devil does 24/7. He's stalking you. The devil is a stalker. He's scouting you. He's watching you. He's watching your family. And what's he looking for? He's looking for a weakness so he can take you down. So you better power up. You better wise up. Number three, write this down. You better armor up. You got to armor up. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Some of you have like part of it on. Some of you have none of it on. You got to armor up. Now, there are five things that are listed there in your notes. And again, we looked at this 6 months ago, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness in verse 14, the feet fitted with the gospel of peace, that's verse 15, the shield of faith in verse 16, and the helmet of salvation in verse 17. We know that Paul, as he writes this, is chained to a Roman guard. And so he looks over, he can see how they're dressed, and he looks at the physical armor of a Roman soldier. And he goes, you know what? That would be a good analogy to describe a believer's spiritual armor that we need in order to withstand all of Satan's schemes and ploys. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet, close to 8 billion people. Satan is out to destroy every single one of them. And you have zero chance. If you don't have your spiritual armor on. Now, we know what the physical armor of a Roman soldier looks like through history, through archaeology, and through research. There was a guy who used to go to our church. He now is with the Lord. But his name was Dr. Richard Fels. And he was a genius. He was about 1,000 times smarter than me. I knew it, and he knew it. And he'd be sitting out here in church, and I'd be up here talking. I'd look over and look at that guy. He was looking at me, and I'm going, man, that guy's 1,000 times smarter than me. And he'd be thinking, I'm 1,000 times smarter than this guy. But I loved him because right after church, he would always come up, and he'd say, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. Man, he lied right through his teeth. He just always had a word of encouragement. But his area of expertise were Roman soldiers. So he had so much information on this passage that he shared with me. And he would always tell me stories about Rome and Roman battles. And one time he told me the story of Rome's greatest, not victory, but Rome's greatest defeat. It took place in this forest called the Teutoburg Forest, which is in the northern part of Germany. There were three legions of Roman soldiers. That's up to 36,000 soldiers that went into that forest and they vanished. They never came out. They went in. No one ever saw him again. What happened to him? Well, there was a Germanic tribe who knew that forest, and they had set up an ambush. So they went in there, and they were completely destroyed. Never heard of again. Years later, British archaeologists discovered the site of the ambush inside that forest. Dr. Fels himself later dug there. And guess what they found when they dug down underneath the surface of the earth? They found the actual Roman armor dated from that time period, which was 9 AD. Jesus was just a little 8-9-year-old boy living over there in Palestine when big Rome was trying to conquer the world when this battle took place. Here's what the shoes look like at that time period. The Romans invented golf shoes 1,700 years before golf. So we know what all these pieces of armor look like through, again, history and archaeology and research. But in our spiritual conflict, back to today, the things that we're struggling, here's what you need. Write them down quickly. Number one, you need the belt of truth, which is the integrity of God's truth. I want to ask you, what's going on in our world today? Why is everything that's evil we call good and everything that's good we now call evil in our country? Here's why. Because there's a war being fought between truth and lies. My second question is, where did that start? Did this start in the last presidential election or two presidential elections? When did it start? It started all the way back in the Garden of Eden when there were only two people here and Satan shows up. God told Adam and Eve, God said, this is truth. And the devil came right after and said, no, that's not truth. And from that day to today, there's this battle between truth and lies. And the reason why so many people today are living lives full of chaos and confusion is because their eyes and their hearts have been blinded to the truth. So that's the first armor. Second, the breastplate of righteousness, that's purity. God is calling us to live a life of purity. Satan is always looking for a crack in the armor that he can attack. You say, well, Pastor, is it okay if I lie just a little bit? Can I cheat just a little bit? Can I steal just a little bit? Can I swear just a little bit? Can I lust just a little bit? Can I flirt just a little bit? Can I sin just a little bit? No. Why? Because if you give the devil an inch, he'll take you for a mile. Number three, you need your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Because everything in this world brings the opposite of peace. Politics and presidential elections cause me stress. Hollywood and media causes me heartburn and indigestion. Worldliness and lack of justice fills me with anxiety and despair. Inflation and taxes cause baldness. Wars and rumors of wars fill us with fear and worry. The only thing that calms me in the midst of the chaos of the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. It brings my heart peace. It brings my heart hope. It brings my heart tranquility. And then you need this shield of faith. What is that? That's our protection. Why do I need protection? Because the devil is attacking us daily. Even more so if you're here today and you desire to live for Jesus. It's your faith in God is your covering. It's your protection. Because Satan keeps firing these fiery arrows at us. He fires fiery arrows of doubt at us. He fires fiery arrows of sickness. He'll fire a fiery arrow of confusion. He'll fire a fiery arrow of financial loss. He'll fire an arrow of loneliness at you. He'll fire a fiery arrow of defeat. He'll fire a fiery arrow of depression. He'll fire a fiery arrow of unworthiness towards you. And how do I fend all that attack? By walking in faith. I've told you before, my sister Dreema, she had two boys. They were twins. They were 4 years old. Four. And one of them came down with a brain tumor. And within 100 days, that boy died. This was 30 years ago. I didn't know, but she had kept a diary of those 100 days. And she had written down everything. My boy, his eyes were crossed, so we took him to see an eye doctor, and they got him a pair of glasses, thinking he needed glasses to correct his vision. And later we discovered there was a tumor. And then we discovered that the tumor was inside his brain stem, which is about the size of your thumb. And once there's a tumor inside the brain stem, there's nothing you can do to really to operate on that. And she'd written down all the doctor's appointments, and she wrote down all the tests that that boy had to take. She wrote down all the details of the last few days of his life. And one day when I was with her, she said, she handed it to me, to read. And I couldn't read it. I can't read that. Because there are times where you go through things in this world where you just say, God, I don't understand this. And whenever you go through those times where you can't understand, the only thing that can carry you through is even in times of not understanding, you keep walking in faith, trusting God fully, even though you don't understand. Then you have this helmet of salvation. And I don't know if you've been paying attention the last few weeks as we've gone through this series on overcoming addictions and breaking generational curses, but the only answer we have to getting our past in the past is you got to come to Jesus. And I don't know if you've ever noticed on this list of these five pieces of armor, all of that armor, all of it is Jesus. The belt of truth, Jesus is our truth. Righteousness, Jesus is our righteousness. The gospel of peace, He is our peace. The shield of faith, our protector, Jesus is our protector. And salvation, that's Jesus, because Jesus alone is who saves. All of this is Jesus. You got to put Jesus on. I heard of a guy every day when he got up, first thing he did, he went in his closet, put his clothes on, but he kind of closed his eyes, and he just imagined putting on these five pieces of armor. He just imagined it in his mind each and every day. You got to power up. You got to wise up. You got to armor up. Number four, write this down. You got to study up. We did not cover this 6 months ago. But it says here in verse 17, in the second half of that verse, it says that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if you're paying attention, up there in point three, those five pieces of armor, those are all defensive weapons. All of them. You put those on because you're under attack. But this is your offensive weapon. This is how we're going to move forward. This is how we're going to have victory. This is how we're going to overcome. This is how we're going to be set free. This is how we're going to live the abundant life. This is how we're going to walk in audacious faith. You got to have the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is living and active. Why, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. This is a powerful weapon. Pastor Tony Evans says that Satan is allergic to the scriptures. That he gets the hives anytime anybody speaks the Word of God. We know that the devil is coming after you. And when he comes after you, whip out the sword, the Word of God. Three times when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan himself, Jesus responded with that temptation by saying these words, "It is written," and Jesus merely quotes scripture. I wonder how many times, I've been preaching here for 36 years, how many times in those 36 years have I encouraged you to bring a Bible with you to church? How many times? How many times have I asked you to hold it up? Let me see it. How many times have I asked you to read this, to memorize it, to fall in love with it, to obey it, to carry it? Tens of thousands of times. I just want to say this to you. Your Bible does you no good. sitting on a shelf. It does you no good sitting in the back seat of your car. It does you no good sitting on a coffee table. It does you no good up on your fire mantle. It's only good when you read it and when you speak it. We have a 911 system here in America. Anything that goes wrong, pick up the phone, 911. Did you know we have a better system than that? It's called 311. O2. Did you write that down? You can barely remember 911. You get it confused with 411. It's 311-02. What is that number? You should all know that number, 3110. Do you know what that is? That's how many verses in the Bible there are. 31,102 verses right here. So next time you're fearful, pick this up. There's over 300 verses in here that tell you fear not. Next time you're being tempted, pick this book up. This book will help you overcome temptation. Are you discouraged? When was the last time you read the book of Psalms? Because it will encourage you. Are you full of doubt? Pick this book up and read it. It will give you assurance after assurance after assurance. Are you bitter here today? Living in your past, someone's offended you, you can't get over it. Pick up this book. It will help you and teach you how to forgive. Are you here today feeling unworthy because of something in your past? Pick this book up and read it, and you'll discover there's a God in heaven who loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die on a cross just for you, because you are his son, you are his child, his daughter. And if you're here today and you're lost, read this book. You'll learn how to be found and saved. Got to power up, wise up, armor up, study up. Number 5, write this down. You got to pray up. Verse 18, I want you to pay attention to these words. The Bible says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for who? Who? All the saints. I truly believe this is one of the greatest components of victory. It's the power of prayer. Up there in Northern California, where all the liberals live, they had these giant redwood trees and sequoias. Did you know that redwood trees can live 2,000 years and the sequoias live for 3,000 years? And they can grow, one of the tallest is 378 feet. They're majestic, they're powerful, they tower above all other trees in the forest. And what many people don't know about the giant redwood trees, they have very shallow roots. You would think that a tree that goes 300 feet up in the air would have roots that go way down deep in order to hold it up straight. It's not the case. Giant redwood trees have very shallow roots, but they go out this way, and they literally intertwine with the roots of the trees right next to them. That's what enables them to grow tall. And the same is true here today, because some of you here are battling Satan this very moment. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you are barely hanging on. Some of you are struggling beneath the weight and guilt of sin and shame. But the church is where we gather, and life groups are where we intertwine our faith. Ministry is where we join forces together. Worship is where we fix our attention and hearts on God. Prayer is when we pray for one another and we lift one another up in the midst of this heavenly battle. We do life together. We sing together. We serve together. We worship together. We sacrifice together. We study God's word together. We pray together. The church is a battle station. It's a place where we come to reinforce our calling. It's a place of spiritual empowerment, a place of spiritual encouragement. It's a place where our hearts are knit together, our lives are knit together, our prayers are knit together. We're in a divine battle. We need a divine prayer. I heard about a little girl one time. She was saying her bedtime prayers. And she was with her mama, and she just kept praying, and she prayed this really, really, really long prayer. And after the prayer, the mama said, "Honey, why did you pray such a long time?" She said, "Mama, my Sunday school teacher told me that when we pray, when he sees the weakest saints upon their knees, that the devil trembles." And I just thought I'd make him tremble a little longer tonight. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous man is both powerful and effective. Last week we finished the service by standing and saying a prayer. It was a powerful moment. We want to wrap up this series with a statement of declaration. So I want you all to stand. You don't want to miss this. How many of you were here last week and remember the prayer that we prayed? So, do you remember how many slides it was last week? Three. This is eight. How many? So I want you to speak these words with conviction, okay? Can you do that? All right, the statement of declaration. You ready? Say it with me. Satan, take note and listen well. We are the church of the living God. We are bought with blood from Calvary, supercharged with power, married to Jesus, and dwelt with His holy and blessed Spirit. We are destined for victory, immune to destruction, love beyond measure, and sheltered in God's hands. We're part of the company of the committed, the crowd of the covenant, the congregation of the courageous, the church of the living God. We're a fellowship of the faithful, a battalion of believers, a regiment of the redeemed, a division of the devoted, an army of the approved, a team of the triumphant, and a platoon of the powerful. Satan, you will not conquer me. For I am blood washed, daily delivered, strongly sanctified, and spirit filled. You are wasting your energy on me, for my fate is set, my victory is assured, and my future secured. I am linked with a sovereign and eternal power. On the other hand, you are a deceiver, but you will not deceive me. You are a roaring lion, but I am not devourable. You are extremely subtle, but I'm aware of your schemes. You foolishly parade around here as an angel of light, but I want you to know that I walk in a stronger, more powerful light. Your days of deception are over for me. I won't be deterred, derailed, distracted, distorted, discouraged, defeated, or disillusioned by your evil ways. I'm off limits to you now. My doors are closed and locked. I have thrown away the keys. You won't walk in, crawl in, slither in, sneak in, pry in, or barge into my life, because I have a permanent and precious friend who now lives inside of me. And he will not share this temple with anyone, especially you. His name is Jesus. I want to say that again. His name is Jesus. He and I both know that your time's almost up. Your days are numbered. Your designs are dwindling. Your evil is limited. Your devilishness is detestable. Your progress is poison. Your success has been subverted. So get off my property. Get off my porch. Get out of my sight. You may lie, lure, linger, lurch, and laugh, but you're not welcome here, and you never were. So leave me alone. Leave my family alone. Leave my children alone. Leave my church alone, and leave my friends alone. God is on my side, or should I say, I'm on God's side. And I have the same power that delivered Jesus from temptation and sin. I have the same power that raised him from the grave. I have been promised the victory, and I have claimed that victory. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. You can summon all your hosts, but you need to know that you're going to lose this battle because we are the church of the living God. We are the blood-washed, spirit-led, battle-tested army, and we stand against you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are unrelenting, indestructible, unamused by any of your tricks. We are one family, one house, one unit, one body, and one church. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Our attention is focused on his word. Our calling is to obey his will. Our faith is what enables us to never turn back. And our plans are to lift up Jesus so that the entire world would believe. The Lord himself is our commander. Our battle is his battle, and he has never been defeated. On the cross, he defeated sin. He defeated the grave. He defeated all fear. He defeated death, and he defeated you. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Savior for all who trust and believe in him. He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And in the perfect, anointed words of Jesus Christ himself, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on.